You know what we have needed tonight. Your word has provided it, Lord. And you give us a few quotes to read tonight, Lord. And we just ask that you anoint them. Anoint the hearers, Lord. May you reveal to the hearts what they need, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I was most of the day today, I kind of was wondering. I really wasn't really settled on a lot. I had a couple of thoughts, and Satan come on me last night and gave me a headache, and he is not let up, but he don't have the victory. Not giving the victory, but it seemed like all day today I just wasn't feeling too good, and I thought, well, if he's fighting this hard, something's good got to be said. So I'm not going to give him the opportunity or the victory, and I'm going to allow the Lord to come on the scene for us, and he did. He's feeling much, much better, although being in this position, I'm always nervous and never comfortable. The flesh is never comfortable, and that's good, because when the flesh gets comfortable, that means something's not right, because the flesh is at enmity with the word, with this revelation. And so I think if we get in a place to where, as far as the flesh, I know we're at peace. Once you have that new birth, once you have the revelation, you are at peace. I'm not saying that it's a constant battle. Once it's settled, it's settled. But Satan is going to come at you, going to come at the flesh, and so that's a good thing, because he's not bothering his children. He's only going to be messing with God's children. So I kind of take it as a badge of honor when he comes and attacks me or whatever. I hate to see the children suffer sometimes, but at the same time, I know that, you know, that's just proving a point. And so we appreciate that. And so we just have a little simple message tonight. We won't hold you too long. And we're definitely glad to hear Brother Don's back, and looking forward to hearing from him. And so, not sure if he'll, what, I haven't really talked to him. I don't know if he's going to preach a message or just give us a report Sunday, but whatever the Lord lays on his heart, that's, we'll be looking forward to it. So, so I thought tonight's living testimonies. I was with someone Sunday, and they made a statement. They said they wanted to one day hear my testimony, my personal testimony. And I thought, well, I just know so many better ones than mine. And we all have, you know, a testimony. God has come on the scene for every one of us. Whether you come out of the world of denomination, grew up, or if you grew up in the message, just because you was born in a message church and set under a vindicated ministry, to just sit there is not enough. It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be, it still takes the new birth. But it got me thinking about a testimony, and I'm not going to give my testimony. I'm going to read some quotes. But it put me on this path, and like I said, it really didn't have a lot put together until this afternoon. I was kind of going different ways, and so we'll get into the reading of the scripture here, into the quotes, and I know you come expecting to hear from God, and that's what we're going to get tonight. I want to start reading. I've got a scripture here. I think I added it to y'all's quotes. I know I went back and forth. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit you have. It's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be thou, and this is Paul. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's saying there's going to be afflictions coming. But don't be afraid of it. Because you have this spirit, not a spirit of fear, but you have a spirit of power, and you have a spirit of love, and you have a sound mind. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So it's not nothing Michael Paul can do. It's not nothing a man can do, a lady can do, anybody. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So way back in before anything started, he had given us a spirit of not of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And that we wouldn't be afraid to take the afflictions of the gospel. We would stand there despite what anybody said, despite our own feelings. I think a lot of times we want to worry about what someone else says. I think the real battle comes down to what we say, what we think. The Brother Branham preached, the meanest man I know, and he talked about himself. I don't know if I think I'm the meanest man I know. I know I'm the number one problem in my life. I can't think of anybody else that's any close to the top. I'm the problem. And so we need to die daily. I need to die daily. I need to let that spirit that is not of fear, but of a sound mind and of love that was given before the foundation of the world. Amen. I need to let that spirit rule in my life and in our lives. So we're going to start off in the message he preached in 63. It's a lot of people want to call it a Christmas message. He even says the words Christmas in it, but I don't believe for a minute, despite what everybody says, that Brother Branham celebrated Christmas. He didn't celebrate Christmas. Amen. What Beatty and the kids done, or whoever done, not want to call names, whatever happened, that's between them and God. But you can't tell me the prophet of God celebrated a pagan holiday. No. I will never accept that. I just don't believe God let him do it. And so you say, well, he did this, and that's... That was for you then, or whoever wants to say that. I'm not saying you here, but I'm telling a lot of people around the message said, well, he did this, and he said this, and all this. I was like, well, he must have done that for you, because he didn't do it for, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, coming through, you know, we all have family that get wrapped up into the pagan holiday, and we wish, and some of them you can sit there, and they'll testify that it's wrong, or that's this, and that, and the other, and then they go right to it. And I was like, but, you know, again, being a living testimony and knowing where God brought me, despite me growing up in a message church, I went out into the world and I done things that I knew was wrong, that I was raised as wrong. So no attribute of sin, I'll say it like that, no attribute of sin is greater than any other attribute of sin. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Everything else is an attribute of unbelief. You don't believe Christmas is wrong, so then you celebrate Christmas. You don't believe drinking is wrong, so then you believe. Then you do all these different things. Those are just attributes. Not having that sound mind, not having that spirit of Christ, you're going to go awry. You're going to go. You're going to miss the mark. So I want to start off in this message. God's gifts always find their places. And this is a really good message. I actually took a bunch of quotes out of this. And then, you know, I started trimming them down. But I would, you ought to go listen to the message. It's a really, really good message. They all are, but, you know. Or start off in paragraph 91. Now God so anointed Jesus with the fullness of himself, till he was God's gift to the world. The wise men are clearly identified, they are offering their gift to him, showed that in their heart they knew who he was and what he was going to do for them. Not only did they recognize this gift to the world, but they realized what he was going to do for them. So they're taking this on to a personal, an account. They're bringing this home to right there to them. Although it was to the world, or the whole world should have seen it. So no wonder the first thing they did, they fell down, perfectly in order, and worshipped him. Before they could even understand it, they fell down and worshipped him, and they presented their gifts. I like the way he said that. Before they could understand it. Although they had some understanding, maybe they didn't have the full understanding that that they needed. They understood what was taking place, and they knew what was going to happen, and they knew what it was for them. That's the way to have a real Christmas. Worship Him. Then present your gift. Listen to what he says your gift is. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You fall down and worship Him, you become that living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Of the sound mind, not of a spirit of fear, but of love. And God is love, and love casts out all fear. So Scripture says God is love, and love casts out all fear. But you know what? After the wise men did that, the father and mother of Christ, or the foster father, of course, and mother, because God was both his father and mother, but we find out that they accepted these gifts from the wise men. No wonder they were called the wise men. They were wise. They were really had wisdom. And if a man today would just be that wise, just as wise, it takes a wise man to come to Christ. A man that turns away from him is a unwise man. But it takes a wise man to come to Christ. Now notice, after the wise man identified him, what he would be, we find through the scripture that's exactly what he was. Deity in service for death. For what? Deity in service to God for death. So again, don't be afraid to take on the afflictions. Here was the Son of God. He came to pay the price for sin, to answer the sin question. He was in service. Deity was in service for death. Jesus was deity in service for death to redeem the world. But what did the world do? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did that because he did die. They said he couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity. But deity was in that body, in the body. This body has to perish. So this body has to perish too. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, just like deity was in that body, deity was in this body today. Mm-hmm. Today, the mortal has taken on immortality. And deity is living in veils of flesh today, just like it did in Jesus. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's deity, God in you. Amen. Not a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind, not being afraid to take on the affliction of the flesh, but being a living sacrifice, a testimony before the world. Now notice, now the same as now, they rejected identified deity. Do you get it? They will certainly put their name on a church book and say, I'll live by this creed. See, here is this scripture here. For he hath saved us not according to our works. I'm going to put my name on a book. I'm going to live by this creed. I'm going to go to a message church. I want to bring it home a little bit. I want to go to a message church, and I'm going to believe this, this, and this, but I'm not going to, this can't be. I know he said it's wrong, but come on now. Look how beautiful it is. Look, everybody loves everybody. You're going to get me this. I'm going to get you that. We're going to go to this party, and we're going to go to that party, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And it's just, oh my goodness. It's got to be right. No. If it doesn't line up with this message, I don't care how good it looks, and I don't care how good it makes the flesh feel. If it doesn't line up with this message, it's poison. And I say, one of my main thoughts behind all this is, as we begin this new year, as we go into this, We're coming out of a year. Look at what's happened in the past, just in the past year. Just craziness. The homosexuality, the transgender, the political world, the educational world, everything has just went poisoned. It's crazy. But God brought us through all that. We stood, right, I say we did under His grace and mercy. We took our stand on the revelation and we stood and we held on to the rock. And He brought us through another year. I want us to start that year again. I want us to go into this next year despite what's going to happen. In a few weeks, we're going to get a new president and the world's going to probably flip upside down again. Everybody, you got some guy that just drove through a crowd in New Orleans or wherever that the New Year's party was and killed people and just people are just crazy. They don't have a sound mind. They don't have the right spirit. They don't have the right word. They don't have the right revelation. They want to do something. They want to fix it or they want to destroy it or whatever. They don't want to be that living sacrifice that we're supposed to be. When you look at the life of Christ, He says, I do nothing but what the Father shows me, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But He did nothing except what the Father showed Him. So that same deity that lived in Christ lives in the bride today. She's not going to do anything except what the Father shows her. The same expression that He did is the same expression in the bride today. They'll take an oath by this, but when it comes to accepting deity and expressing back the same kind of gift like they did, that you are identified by your gift, that you give your entire being to it, to identify a deity. Then you identify yourself with the deity by giving all you are, what you are, to deity Himself. So we lose our identity. It's no longer Michael Paul, it's no longer Amanda, it's no longer Rebecca or Gabe or whoever. It's no longer the flesh. It's no longer this mind. In a world that has lost their identity, you got men wanting to be women. You got women wanting to be men. I seen a video clip the other day, and I don't want to be funny in the pulpit or joke around, but I couldn't help but laugh because it happened in California, of all places, probably the most liberal, whacked out state in the United States would probably be California, I can think of. And I don't mean to pick on them. Got family from there, but you know. This cop pulls over this man, and I think it's his girlfriend. You don't ever see the girl. She's videoing. You know, everybody's going to video the cop. You're getting pulled over, everybody's going to video the cop. They're going to sue the cop. They're going to sue everybody. And it's just crazy. And there's bad cops. I'm not saying, but there's bad cops and there's bad people. But anyway, the cop asks for his ID. The guy takes his collar off. He's got a collar. He's wearing a cat collar. A collar that you'd put on your pet cat. He takes it off and hands him, the cop, his collar with a little cat tag on, you know, your little identification pet tag. And the cop he takes it with stride. He just like, and so the cop says, I need your license. And I don't remember exactly how, I'm just more or less saying what he said. He says, I need to identify you. And the guy says, well, I identify as a cat. And the cop just goes, okay, this is how we're going to play it. Thinking about a world that's went crazy. When God's identifying His seed and His bride and what she'll do and what she'll manifest, He'll also identify Satan's seed and their idea and everything about them and as crazy as Satan is. So this cop says, all right. He said, first thing, cats aren't allowed to drive. So I'm going to call animal control. They're going to come down here. You want to be a cat? All right. We're going to get animal control down here. We're going to arrest you, pick the cat up. We're going to pick the cat up. You're going to go to animal control. We're going to see if you got a list of all your shots. You know, all your animals got to have shots. We're going to give you all the shots. Most likely, in some counties, when the animal control takes the animal in, they immediately, or in the next few days, they'll fix them. They castrate them or whatever they do, where they can't have kids, male or female. He says, so you might have to go through that process too. He says, and then I'm going to get a psychiatrist to come down and we're going to talk to your girlfriend because she's got to be outside of her mind to allow a cat to drive her around town and I'm pulling you over for speeding. So the cop says, is this what you want to play it is? And the guy looks to his girlfriend. He goes, what do I do? The cop says, you can just give me your license and I can give you your ticket and we can get out of here. But that's how crazy the world is. That you got men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, and humans wanting to be animals, and it's crazy. It's crazy. And I just couldn't help but laugh. I was like, if I could ever meet this cop, I'd shake his hand, take him to lunch or something. I don't know, but it was surprising to see a California cop do this. It's just, they're refusing the word. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind, just like the scriptures say they would, and they would be made to believe a lie. And so they do. They believe a lie. And they talk about, this is my truth. This is, everybody's got their truth. There's only one truth, and that's the Word of God. Everything else is not, that's your idea of something. There's only one truth. You don't have a truth. Unless it's this message. If you're not saying this message, I don't care what you're saying. It's not a truth. This is the only truth. Now, Jesus in this day, now Christ in this day that we live in now, identifying himself, deity, among the people, he's still deity because he's the Word. And when we see the Word living itself, when we know that man can't do it, it's deity. The Word being made manifest by man. And Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. I can't do nothing. I'm a man, Jesus said. But my Father that dwells in me, he showeth me all things that himself doeth. So here's Christ. I want you to look at this sentence here. But my Father that dwells in me, he showeth me all things that he doeth. So what I want to point out here is the Father's living in you, and he's showing what he's doing through you. It's not you doing it. It's him living it through you. Just like Jesus did nothing. He didn't go nowhere unless the Father showed him. And then it was the Father in him, deity in Jesus, the man, moving him. Mm-hmm. Moving him here, moving him there, walking him 7 miles out of the way to the woman at the well. Raising Lazarus, going to Jairus' daughter. Healing the man at the pool. When it was deity, he could have just snapped his finger and he could have fixed it. But my Father that dwelleth in me, he showeth me all things that himself doeth. There you are. What is it? Deity being identified in man. Now the same thing is today. That deity, the promised word for this day, can identify itself in you. Amen? Then can you hold it? He's asking the question. Then can you hold it? Show that you believe in it. Give it deity. Believe it. Service and ready to die out to yourself in your own thoughts. But today it's rejected, and as it was then. God guided those gifts because they were gifts to identify him. Wise men today who can look away from churchianity and all the things of the world. Listen, wise men today who can look away from all of the churchianity, all of the traditions, all of the so-so, we got to have this, and we got to have this service on this day because it's this and it's that and all. And to all the things of the world, to the living Word of God, And God will identify his son by his word. Don't you just love that? God will identify his son, and I'll add daughter there because he's speaking to both. God will identify his son and daughter by his word. Because that's what he is. I and my Father are one. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And the same Word today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a wise man follows that because that's what God takes care of to identify himself by. He takes care of his Word. He spoke his word, he planted that seed, and he took care of it because that was what he was going to identify himself by. Why? Because that was him. From before the foundation of the world, that was him. Amen. A real gift, a real identified gift of God. God brings that to earth, a thing like that to identify himself by. And that's how Christ was identified, by gold, myrrh, and frankincense, by the men foreshadowing and showing in type that his what his life was to be. And I don't remember the different meanings. Brother Branham speaks to that, what gold, myrrh, and frankincense represented and how it identified Christ and his life. There's each one means a different one, but I didn't grab that quote. By them, men, foreshadowing and showing the type of what his life was to be. See, deity manifested for service. It's the same thing today. It's deity manifested for service. You're not the one that's going to pay the price for sin. I'm not saying that. But you're in service to deity. Deity manifested for service, to die that he might redeem the nation, because he was to save the people from their sin. Not save the world, save his people from their sin. Oh, I thought he came to save the whole world. He came to save his people from their sin. The Bible said, therefore, in his name will the Gentiles trust. See, the Gentiles will trust in his name. Amen. In other words, the bride, the called out of the Gentiles, will be trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, God guided them, for they were the gifts that they were given were fitting to the time. Notice, as I've said, he divided his word at the beginning in Genesis. I can take Genesis and show you every age of the Bible down to this age here. All the cults and everything we have today, I can show you exactly where they was in Genesis. See, God gave his word so much here, and so much here for each age. And then he sent a prophet down, anointed to make that word come to pass. He placed that portion of the word down through the ages. He placed that portion of the word and he brought a prophet on the scene to manifest and make that word come to pass. And it supports the other one that was coming. See, like the Messiah, always supported. Every prophet in his own life, his own being, the word that was given for that day, he come and fulfilled that written word and foretold of what the other one was going to be. And every one of them spoke of him, amen, because he was the fullness. He was the head of the prophet. He was the word of God. He was the prophets, amen. There he is. Notice how wonderful what he was, each one of those prophets. In their little portions that they had, they were still the word. And they were building up. They were building up. They was coming to a head. They was coming to the fullness of Christ. Every one of them spoke to him. Brother Branham said, if you can't see Jesus Christ in every scripture of the Bible, go reread that scripture. Think about that. The whole entire Bible, every scripture speaks to Jesus Christ. It's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people that really study the Bible. They study the different dialects. They study the different the Hebrew, the Greek. They just all the different translations. And I'm told, I haven't verified this, I'm just gonna say it. But that the first scripture, the first verse, if you write it out in Hebrew, it speaks to Jesus Christ. Each letter of something, and I'll find it and share it. It was really good, but again, it just vindicates what the prophet said, that every scripture speaks to him. So you can go in and do studies and do the different things, and you can kind of, you know, you can see it because the prophet said it, and because it does. You can just get some different information. What paragraph? One or two. Then when he come, he was the fullness of all the prophets manifested, because they was the word of the Lord. And he said himself, if you call those gods whom the word of God come to, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? See, even those in that age was identified as gods. And God called them himself gods. What were they? They were the manifestation of his word. Why are they called gods? Because they were the manifestation of the word. And here he was, he, the fullness of the word, deity embodied, deity manifested in flesh. Notice what, going over to spoken word, the original seed. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See, John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. I like the way he said that. He shows her and she receives it. Meaning she receives it, not that she, well, I'm going to go think about it. I'm going to go, well, let's just see how this lines up with my idea. No, she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen? Then you got a big, then I got a big hallelujah. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride. There's the secret. That's what the world doesn't recognize. But the bride knows she's the word. Why? Because she was a part of him. He's poured all that he was into her. She now is the embodiment of deity. She is deity because she's him. It's embodied in a veil of flesh around the world. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. So not only has she received the word and that she is the word, she now knows what God wants her to do with the word. He didn't just speak his word and say, all right, here's the word, now go sit down. No, there's actions going to take place. There's a life going to be lived. There's a manifestation of deity today. And she knows how to do it. She's the only one that knows how to do it. Satan's bride can't do it. My idea of the bride can't do it. The church bride can't do it. Only the bride of Christ can manifest this message. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. Then it's germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves its purpose. They do only His will. They do only that which the Father has showed them. Amen? I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. And I think how many times that I haven't kept still. How I want to make something happen, how I've called somebody up, or I've sent a text to them, or I've started something, and I just want to beat the revelation into them, and you're not going to do that. It's not that maybe the seed's there. It's not time for it to come forth. We each come in our own time. We're not all in the same level. We're not all coming up at the same speed, the same rate. God's working in each individual person at that level, and no one's greater than the other. No one, just because you can preach to this level and someone down here preaches, which I'm way down here, by the way, but that doesn't mean that there's one greater than another. God is working. God has a purpose. What puts everybody on the same playing field, if you want to put it that way, is that they are the Word, and that they're born again, and that they're the bride of Christ. Period. The it's over with. The work is finished. That's all that matters. God will bring each one as He sees according. Then they will do the works of God. For it is Himself in them continuing His word to fulfill. As He did complete in His days all the things when He was here. He did not complete all when He was here, for it wasn't time. You know what He's talking about? There was time to go for the seed to go back into the ground, to go through the dark ages of the church ages. Everything that Christ was to fulfill while He was here on earth, He fulfilled every part of it. Every bit of it. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now watch close. This is going to have a spiritual background. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming into sight. It's nearing the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means Savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with His word. They wanted something different. So did the last day church. They come out of Egypt, 2 million strong. Nobody weak. Can you imagine 2 million people, 2 million slaves coming out of the greatest nation in the world? They come out strong, not one feeble person among them. Man, that in itself is a testimony of itself. That's just... And to see God come on the scene for them and bring them through all that they've brought through, and they got out there and it was only a 3 days journey and it turned into 40 years. Why? They wanted something different. They started off good. They started off strong. They went, sent the spies over. They brought out all the here's the proof. You're eating the proof. You're drinking the proof. And still they doubted. All but Joshua and Caleb. Notice how God did not move Israel until His own appointed time. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. God didn't move Israel until He was ready to move them. And when they got ready to move, they immediately, and again, when that pillar of fire started moving or that cloud started moving, here 2 million people got up and started walking immediately. The tents come down, the camels got packed, the oxen got packed, the children got loaded. And they were on their way. They didn't linger where they were at. They were on the move. They were going to a promised land. Joshua waited for that time. Now, how much people might have said, God gave us the land, the promise. Let us go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to do, you know, thus saith the Lord in a moment, and what the will of God was. He knew it. He could act on it. But he waited until God said go. People got restless. They wanted him to do something. They wanted to get there faster. And when they got there, they said they couldn't take it. So, you know, it's that little saying, hurry up and wait. Everybody wants to hurry up and get to Jordan, and then they want to wait. They don't want to cross Jordan. Jordan is a dying to yourself. Jordan is a separation between from you and the world. The world dies, and the Word begins to live. But this wise God-sent prophet knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise, a clear-cut decision from God for his time. See these parables. Now watch. When the time come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others, he could trust him. So it will repeat. He couldn't trust his generals. He couldn't trust all his people to tell him when it was time to move. He just trusted God. He just relied on God. So will it repeat. One night, and moving over to the Pergamon church age. One night as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grasped the pen to write, his Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the word and the bride. Here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that every species brings forth of after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit yielding fruit and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. Whatever seed. If it was an apple, it became an apple. If it was a pear, it became a pear. If it was a grape, it became a grape. If it was a human being, it was a human being. Every seed brings forth of its kind. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it's the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, listen to him identifying that seed here, will come to the headstone and she will be a super church, a super race as she nears him. They in the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. You are going to be in the very image of God. What is God? His word. What is his word? The bride. What is the bride? His word. It's all one. The bride is not suffering from an identity crisis and thinks she's something else and he's one thing and she's claiming him like Brother Chris mentioned the other day, that the seven women wanting to claim the one man. That's not the bride. She's him and he's her and they're one. The same seed. This is in order to unite with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can't produce this. It's the wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. They'll take a little bit of it. They'll take pages 1 through 10 and skip pages 11 through 20. They'll take Genesis 1 and then they'll leave out Revelations 10 or different things. They'll mix it with the Word, and it will look good, and they can make it sound good. It'll be so close that it could deceive the very elected. But see, it's not possible. Because she's the Word. And when she sees what's being presented, if she doesn't see the fullness of the Word, she knows that's not me. It looks good? Yeah, looks really good. You're almost there. You just got a couple more steps to take. But the bride is going to go with the fullness of the revelation. Because that's what she's manifesting, is the fullness. This mongrelizing brings forth hybrid product. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride is given to him, to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. But she failed by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like as was Adam, but before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt the word and die. She doubted. She left the word. She died. And from a little group of the true seed of the word. Now listen, from a little group. And I'm not talking about the 12 here, the 15 here, but it's a little group. The world population is fixing to hit 8.09 billion people. It's fixing to hit it, if it just didn't hit it. 8 billion people on this earth. So a million is even nothing, but I don't know what the number is. I just know it's going to be a very, 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 very small group. The Word said that. From a little group of the true seed of the Word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She's a virgin of His Word. She's a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogma. By and through, the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in that virgin. So I want you to take a look at that real quick. So just like Christ says, I do nothing except what the Father shows me. He does nothing. The bride does nothing except for what the Father shows him, what the message says. So here is Mary. And I know we're in a mixed crowd here. We all know how babies are made. And so here is Mary. And here's the word. And here's the prophecy. And it's come down all these hundreds of years. And no doubt many of little girls or women thought that they were going to be the one. Probably someone, some of them, probably, I don't know. I'm just adding drama, if you will let me. Probably some of them pushed marriage off for as long as they possibly could so they could remain a virgin, so maybe they could be the one to manifest this. But we know now that Mary was the chosen one to manifest this promise. And so when the word came to her, her testimony was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That was her testimony. She didn't try to start making it happen. Now, here's Gabriel telling her, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You're going to conceive the Son of God. She didn't go into her own little head and say, now how am I going to make this happen? Who do I go hide with? Who do I, you know, I'm a spouse, you know, but I'm supposed to stay a virgin. Maybe if I go to the doctor and have this procedure done, you know, and it's not me and a man, but this is happening. And no. It had no part of man was in that. It was God that created the blood cell, the egg, everything about the body of Jesus Christ God created. And he placed it in the womb of Mary. Now, as she ate that developed the body. But my point is, she didn't put her idea of how to make it to happen. She surrendered and became that vessel, became that testimony. And then when she went and met her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit moved on him while he was in the womb. And I love that because there are people who say, you're not going to get the Holy Spirit until you get baptized. Well, here's John, and he ain't even born yet, and he's got the Holy Spirit. So don't put a period on God. Don't say it's this way because this is what you think. Lean on the revelation that he's brought forth in this day. If it doesn't line up with this word, then it's an idea. It's poison in the pot. But if you can find it here in the message, and it's not so much the black and white. If you could get, if black and white save people, I would fax this or send this all around the world and just say, hey, read it and just say amen. And then that, if that was it, if that was, you can't just take this to black and white. The letter killeth, the spirit maketh alive. Not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of a sound mind, a spirit of love, the manifestation of God, deity in a veil of flesh, a surrendered life. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message was the word of God, Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. Members of the virgin bride will love him. They will have his potentials, for he's their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subjects to him as members of our bodies are subject to our head. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed to him by the Father. This harmony now exists between the groom and his bride. This harmony now. It's not this harmony will, this harmony did. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here's the secret of it. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. It sounds like I'm repeating it, what I read earlier, but it's the different, but it's the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass, like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be every day. That's where I struggle. I don't want to keep still sometimes. I want to give it to God, and I pray, and I give it to him, and then I can wait a little bit, but then Michael Paul gets impatient, and he wants to put his hands in it. And so, well, I can make this happen. If I do it this way, well, we can do it like that. No, just wait. He might want you to wait 25 years. He might want you to wait 100 years. He might make you wait 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days. I don't know. He might not make you wait at all. The whole point of it is that you are leaning on him and that you wait on him. And whatever time he chooses, that's because he knows right when it's needed. Mm-hmm. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all the work while he was here on his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left off for the specific time. And there's a lot of messages in just those few sentences, and we can go a lot of different ways, and I'll try to stay on course here. Sorry. Paragraph 160. She was smitten from the church body, smitten with her master for the same purpose. She's the word. Just the same as Joseph was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. Jesus was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. The church is smitten. The bride is smitten from the church because she is the word. There's your stages again. 1, 2, and 3. Just exactly. The word living in action, the Bible bride, not some man-made bride. The Bible bride smitten and afflicted of God. No beauty that we should desire her, but yet we did esteem her smitten and afflicted of God. Now, I thought that scripture was talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ. It does. And you are in him. So there you are again, identified. So here's the scriptures. Here's the Bible, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And here you are, a part of Jesus Christ. That's right. She stands alone. She's smitten from all denominations, according to Revelation 3. She's smitten out of the Laodicean church age that she was raised up in. This church was raised up in the Laodicean church age. That's the husk. But if the others went, .. If the tassel went, the shuck's got to go too. The farmer doesn't plant a crop of wheat or a crop of corn or whatever for the blade, for the tassel, for that. He's going back to seed. He can appreciate all the different stages. Yes, they all had to come. But he harvests the seed. Stands alone like the bridegroom, rejected of man, despised and rejected of the churches. The bride stands that way. What is it? It's his masterpiece, see? It's the word that he can work through, make manifest, rejected. So the stalk, the tassel, the husk never become seed, no. But all the time becoming more like the seed. Now at the harvest, the seed is back to its original life. Back to the Bible, Malachi 4 said, it would be brought that way. Oh my. Must have all. To be this way, it must have all of the word. Is that right? The congregation says amen. And you cannot satisfy that by joining a church. You got to find the person, God himself, which is the word and the interpretation of him, of himself today. So you can't go on the interpretation of partial reality back through the church ages or back through the scriptures. That's not what's being manifested today. If you was back there, that's what you would have done. That's what you would have needed to do. And if you was the seed of God, that's what you would have done. The interpretation of himself today, the promise that he made today, the people that he's going to have in this day, the church without spot or wrinkle. Don't mean a denomination. It means the person, the individual without spot or wrinkle. Be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one. Two in the field. I'll take one and leave one. But when God, the holy thirst to be like him, and then you see that his word is in you, vindicating itself, that you are God's servant. Whatever God says, You just tow right up to it. This is who you are. Something in there drives you right to it. You tow right up to it. It's like, this is me. Then you're coming through the right process. Then to satisfy that holy thirst. that's in you. And now we see in the evil hours approaching, all the wrath of God built up in disguise. And actually, I just wanted to, I'll just read the quote. I got just a couple of minutes left. I'll read all. I wasn't going to read all, but we're going to read all. Now, as we see in the evil hours approaching, all the wrath of God built up in disguise. Think about these horrific storms that's ripping across the world here locally. We can feel in our hearts for the people. I do, and that's okay. But God's judgment is moving through this earth, not in just North Carolina, but it's moving around the world. You wish you could save everybody. You wish you could. And it's most any time that there could come something happen to this nation that's forsaken thee. And there would be one great explosion that would take the nation completely off the map of the world, with threats behind it of ungodly country that's anxious to do so. And we know they all put on a smiling face for the TV cameras and, oh yeah, we're united and we're standing behind each other, but they're just waiting for the right time, and they're going to... Someone was asked me the other day, did I think that I would live, because they were talking about how they were raised in a church and they always talked about the end of the world's coming, you know, it's the climax is coming, you know, and he was saying how he was just, you know, he was pretty much not believing it's not going to happen. And yet he was also recognizing judgment moved around, and he says, you know, we didn't used to have all these storms like this, you know, hundreds of years ago. And so he asked me, he said, do you think, and I didn't even let him get the finish. I knew he was going to ask me. He was going to ask me, did I think that in my lifetime that I would see it? I said, well, first of all, I'm surprised I haven't already seen it. I said, but yes, I do believe. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't say this and this, but with the way it's going, I just don't know. You know, I know we say that, well, how could it get any worse? And then somehow it gets worse. And it's all in God's timing. You know, again, just like Joshua was waiting, I'm waiting too, and I know we're all waiting, but I told him, you know, I said, yeah, no, I said, I believe it could happen quite easily. And how it hasn't happened already, I don't know. He said, well, I don't know. He said, I think you just die and that's just the end of it. I said, well, for some people, for a lot of people, you're exactly right. That's it. They die and there'll be no more. There's no resurrection on the other side for them. I'm going to skip down through the... To the paragraph here. We're going to start off last couple sentences. May we have understanding today like we have never before. May our hearts be so on fire after this day that there will be a kindled fire in our souls that'll sweep through this country. Lord, a living testimony wherever we are. Amen. Wherever we are, we're going to be a living testimony that there's going to be a fire so kindled in our soul, yes, that we're leaning so upon Him, yes, that our whole desire is that they see Christ in us. Yes. And wherever He sends us, I know He says sweeps through this country, but wherever He sends us, to the doctor's office, to work, to a family member's house for a dinner, whatever, wherever He sends you, that fire is so kindled that they see a testimony that they have never seen before. I like the way He sees it. That we may have an understanding. Brother Brown said, pray for revelation more than anything. We may have an understanding today like we never have had before. May our hearts be on fire after this day, that there will be a kindled fire in our hearts that it will sweep through this country, Lord, a living testimony wherever we are. Amen. Let's all stand. Trust you got a little something out of that. That's what I want to be as we go into this new year. I want to be a better example than I was last year. I want to be a better example tomorrow when I wake up in the morning, if God sees fit, than I was today. I didn't go nowhere today. I was off today. Probably most of us were off today. But was I the right testimony to Amanda? Amanda was here with me all day. Was I the right one to her? Because I'm her head. I'm supposed to be her leader. I'm supposed to be who she's wanting to be like. And I don't want her to be like Michael Paul, because I know Michael Paul. He's a failure. He's insufficient. He can't do nothing. He's got problems. But who I have on the inside of this veil of flesh, that's who I want her to be like. That's who I want everybody to be like. Let's sing that chorus, "To Be Like Him." I'm not even sure I know it all, but
to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. One more time. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Amen. Let's pray and be dismissed. Let's remember each one. Remember Sunday. Have the dinner after service Sunday. We'll be here. So looking forward to that. We're looking forward to see what God does with us in our next day, in our next steps. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, truly in our hearts, Lord, that's our desire, Lord. We want to be that reflection of You, Lord. We want to be where if we look in the mirror, Lord, as it were to speak, that we don't see ourselves, Lord, but we see the Word, Lord. And wherever we see ourselves, Lord, our own idea or the flesh, Lord, that Lord, that You'll just cut that away. Amen. We know we can't even do that of our own, Lord. We can say that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. But Lord, if it's not You doing it, it's not even going to happen. We can make a good attempt, Lord, but if it's not You doing it, Lord, it'll grow right back. For only You can root out that evil seed and destroy it, Lord, and then quicken that true life, Lord. That seed that You planted before the foundation, Lord, that manifestation of You in this day, Lord. That's our desire, Lord. Help us every day as we wake up, Lord, that we say that prayer, Lord. To be it unto me, Lord, according to Thy will, Lord. Whatever is in front of us, Lord, we know that You've provided that way, Lord. If it's affliction, let it come, Lord. If it's a victory, let it come, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, we know that it was You, for the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, Lord. Lord, we dedicate ourselves, Lord, as we start off this new year, Lord. May we be a better example of You as we, if You see fit to give us another year or day or week, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we just want to manifest You, Lord. We thank You for that work. We thank You for that desire, Lord. We want to thank you for bringing Brother Don back to us, Lord. We're looking forward to hearing from him Sunday, Lord, and ask that you continue to be with him, strengthen him, give him words to speak, Lord. The same with Brother Goomba, Lord. May you continue to be with him, give him strength, Lord. Bring us back appointed time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.